Now turn to part two. You will hear an astronaut called Charles Renard talking about a simulated space mission to Mars he took part in. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
I've recently returned from Mars. Well, actually, that's not quite true. The spaceship I was in, with its five-man crew, never left the ground. It was, in fact, a simulated space mission for research purposes. The idea of becoming an astronaut has always appealed to me. I loved science fiction stories as a kid, studied physics at college, and I still enjoy magazine articles on any aspects of space. I've always browsed any relevant website on the off chance of finding work. When I saw this project advertised, I jumped at the chance and was thrilled to be accepted. To simulate life in a spaceship, I'd be living in a windowless area no larger than a bus with five strangers, and some aspects of sealing myself off from the world for so long did worry me, naturally. Like, I wouldn't be able to step outside, breathe fresh air, or, crucially, feel the sun on my face. And nobody knew how the whole experiment would affect the crew psychologically. Yet, I felt a tremendous sense of excitement when I entered the spaceship itself. Inside, it was surprisingly pleasant, with six square cabins and an oval section where we would have our meals. There was also a medical module, a long cylinder that doubled as the laboratory, and a utility module that contained a gym. A typical day began at 8 a.m. with medical checks, followed by experiments, including those focused on cognitive tasks, covering things like memory and mental reactions, in addition to physical tests involving the wearing of electrodes to see if our bodies were changing during the mission. Obviously, there were times when we needed to relax. Every so often, we'd take breaks for training in the gym, especially on the rowing machine, and in the evening, I'd try my Russian on a colleague or play my guitar, which I found the most effective way to unwind. We all got along well. At times, it felt like being back at college. Every so often, the team behind the scenes would stage an emergency to see how we'd cope, like when our communication links and supplies of water were cut off for 24 hours once after an imaginary fire. And though the support crew were in reality only 20 meters away, it was hard to shake the sense they were millions of kilometers distant. A month later, we'd reached the Red Planet. On a mocked-up landscape, space-suited crew members collected soil and rock samples and drove computer-simulated vehicles, even performing a deliberate fall to test how easy it'd be to recover from an accident. In contrast, the return journey was punishingly monotonous. My crewmates became more important than ever then, but problems could arise. I liked to discuss things at mealtimes, for example, but one of the other guys didn't, and on one occasion it led to an argument. We made up quickly, though. That's important in such a confined environment. Finally, it was all over. We'd traveled 70 million miles without moving a centimeter, and somehow remained friends through it all.
Now you'll hear part two again.
I've recently returned from Mars. Well, actually, that's not quite true. The spaceship I was in, with its five-man crew, never left the ground. It was, in fact, a simulated space mission for research purposes. The idea of becoming an astronaut has always appealed to me. I loved science fiction stories as a kid, studied physics at college, and I still enjoy magazine articles on any aspects of space. I've always browsed any relevant website on the off chance of finding work. When I saw this project advertised, I jumped at the chance and was thrilled to be accepted. To simulate life in a spaceship, I'd be living in a windowless area no larger than a bus with five strangers, and some aspects of sealing myself off from the world for so long did worry me, naturally. Like, I wouldn't be able to step outside, breathe fresh air, or, crucially, feel the sun on my face. And nobody knew how the whole experiment would affect the crew psychologically. Yet, I felt a tremendous sense of excitement when I entered the spaceship itself. Inside, it was surprisingly pleasant, with six square cabins and an oval section where we would have our meals. There was also a medical module, a long cylinder that doubled as the laboratory, and a utility module that contained a gym. A typical day began at 8 a.m. with medical checks, followed by experiments, including those focused on cognitive tasks, covering things like memory and mental reactions, in addition to physical tests involving the wearing of electrodes to see if our bodies were changing during the mission. Obviously, there were times when we needed to relax. Every so often, we'd take breaks for training in the gym, especially on the rowing machine, and in the evening, I'd try my Russian on a colleague or play my guitar, which I found the most effective way to unwind. We all got along well. At times, it felt like being back at college. Every so often, the team behind the scenes would stage an emergency to see how we'd cope, like when our communication links and supplies of water were cut off for 24 hours once after an imaginary fire. And though the support crew were in reality only 20 meters away, it was hard to shake the sense they were millions of kilometers distant. A month later, we'd reached the Red Planet. On a mocked-up landscape, space-suited crew members collected soil and rock samples and drove computer-simulated vehicles, even performing a deliberate fall to test how easy it'd be to recover from an accident. In contrast, the return journey was punishingly monotonous. My crewmates became more important than ever then, but problems could arise. I liked to discuss things at mealtimes, for example, but one of the other guys didn't, and on one occasion it led to an argument. We made up quickly, though. That's important in such a confined environment. Finally, it was all over. We'd traveled 70 million miles without moving a centimeter, and somehow remained friends through it all.
That's the end of part two.